Hello, welcome to season 5 of the Point 99 podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Steve, and this is episode 4. Today we have another slightly longer episode lined up for you, but unlike what I did with episode 2 with Control-Alt-Delete, Lee Campbell, I'm going to keep this one as a single episode, more because it gives anyone tuning in while running the Edinburgh Marathon something a little bit longer to accompany them while they're smashing the distance. That does mean I'm going to try to trim back on as much of my general waffle and the bits that aren't needed as I can, including my own running. There's nothing to write home about there, so I'm happy to sacrifice that portion of the podcast. If, however, you're joining me for the very first time today and you're wondering what the Point 99 podcast is, well, it's a running podcast for all runners, but especially the everyday runners like you and I. The show's mission remains steadfast since the very first episode to help everyone along whatever path their journey is taking. That might be through relatable guests and their awesome stories, shared experiences or lessons that we all learn along our own journeys. The 99's biggest goal is to show you all that we are more alike than we sometimes think we are, and that through shared conversation, you can see that to be the case. What I won't sacrifice, though, is shouting out the listeners and wider community. We may not have received the biggest response to the question in the stories this week, but we make do, and I can fill in the gaps with my own observations. I'll be honest at this point and say that I might actually cut out asking for input. I don't think it's going down particularly well. Yes, I have my regulars and I do really appreciate the feedback and the inclusion of your messages, but I don't want you feeling like you have to contribute to help me feel better in some way. If I go back to the old way I did it, where I notice someone having got a Medal Monday or been out with a run group, etc., and then I shout them out and I just target just a random selection across the board, I think that might be better. And the same with the people who are regular listeners. They know that they can get in my DMs if they want something shouted out, and I will add it as I always did in the past. Anyway, away from that noise and looking at the responses that we did get and some of my own observations. First off, we have Chris Evans, Mr. Runs a Lap himself. He's shouting out Stevie McKenna for knocking out a 50k for an ice cream after the scurry to Crammond Island. I mean, that's some way to go for an ice cream. It must have been a really good one, but awesome effort, Stevie, especially in the temperatures we've been getting the past couple of days or weeks. Maybe not today or last night, but I know at the time it was a very warm day, so good on you, man. Curly Steph is shouting herself out for the scurry to Crammond Island as well, with loads of the community, including this week's guest. Steph also had the Greenock Parkrun's 10th birthday with a spot of tailwalking, then tea and cake afterwards. Tea and cake does sound scarily close to an ultra runner's territory there, Steph, and you know how contagious that is in the community right now. It's the new COVID, I think. Jimmy Bunter, Mr. Gow, is shouting out everyone who completed the Pentland Skyline on Sunday. He says it was an absolute shift. And you see, Steph, you mention an ultra runner and they somehow crop up. Good stuff though, Jimmy. It did look like a great event and well put together by everyone involved. The man of the hour, Stuart Runs a Lot, that he does, is shouting out the scurry to Crammond as well, and to all the amazing people that were out for the night and a great time. Yep, it was great seeing so many smiley faces, familiar ones too, and fairly similar to last year's photo there, just with a few additions. Did look like a great night out. At this point, I'm going to personally shout out previous guest of the show, Gary Dempsey, for doing his part in supporting events and organisation akin to both Lee Campbell and Nikki Sheridan. The events couldn't go ahead without volunteers and people contributing their time like Gary, Lee and Nikki, especially with his volunteer duties just now with the Cape Wrath Ultra. So good on you, Gary. It's looking like a cracking event and some great scenes there as you're trekking up and down some of those scary looking ascents. Another shout to Ryan Miller, Mr. Press Play and Run. And run he can. The man is literally running like a man on fire just now, having smashed yet another PB, sliding into the sub 18 minute 5K club. Amazing stuff, Ryan. I know you don't like hearing it, and I know you are listening, but for an elderly man, you give us youngsters a good dose of inspiration and hope for our own running when we get over that big 4-0. My old sidekick, Runnerman Steve, was in action at the Hackney Half at the weekend, scoring a PB as well. It would be amiss of me not to shout the man out, especially with all the great words of wisdom that he's been sharing with the community of late. Steve is a top fella and I do miss having him around. So if you're listening, Steve, come back soon, buddy, even if it is just for an odd episode once again. Finally, I'm shouting out that lazy running guy for not only ticking off his 45th park run on Saturday, but casually following it up with the Severn Way Ultra. A solid 32.75 mile session. Well done, John. Amazing run. I am looking forward to reading your breakdown when it's up, which it might already be by the time this comes out. Now, that was a bit of a whistle stop, I know, but I am conscious of time and how long the conversation I had with this week's guest goes on for. So like I say, at this point, I'm going to hand over to Monday Night Steve for a great chat with a great guy. I say a lot about the guests I have on and I always mean it, but it was honestly a huge pleasure having this week's guest join me earlier this week. He's making so many leaps, not only in his running ability, but also with his all-round confidence, both self-reflecting and outwards facing. As with Uncle Lee, I feel I'd be doing the man a disservice if I didn't include the whole chat, so here we go. Join me in welcoming this week's guest, an all-round great guy to the show. Stuart runs a lot, that he does, Stuart Rowan. What can I say about this man? Let's start off with how instrumental he has been to this very podcast. He is perhaps the biggest supporter we have, tuning in weekly and listening all the way to the outro music. A recent little experiment proved that point to be true. But it's not just the 99's flag he flies, being a huge supporter of our friends over at the Press Play and Run podcast, showing that it's not just one or the other. As a regular face in the crowds cheering everyone on at many an event in the Central Belt, when he's not taking part himself, that is, alongside being a regular at the Press Play and Run club runs, it would be no word of a lie to say that he's extremely active in supporting the wider community as a whole. Community aside, and it would also be no lie to say that his running has gone from strength to strength of late. No time more so than since he took a massive step out of his comfort zone and joined the Newton Roadrunners. His confidence and his ability as a marathon runner are flourishing, but let's hear about it from the man himself. It's the fella who runs a lot, that he does. It's the one and only Stuart Runs a Lot, Stuart Rowan. Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You know how hard it was not to repeat that he does after seeing your handle as well.
Do you know what was it? It was your interview with Bob that every time you said it, you actually put that at the end.
I was so happy to see your profile recently and see that was on it because I hadn't noticed. It's just habit now. It's just habit.
That's obviously updated this week and put the actual pod after it, but yeah, I thought no. If somebody's going to shout you out every week like that, then it is worth.
You're worth shouting at me. As I say, you tune in weekly, and you're one of the first, if not the first, to share it in the stories as well. But yeah, it's all appreciated. So just doing my part to show my appreciation to you.
No, you've been great. During all the long runs, it's been good to have something in the ears.
Oh, that's it. You're having a good day though.
Yes, I just finishing work and trying not to kill people. So, and if anybody's wondering, I'm not in the NHS.
Imagine that could be a bit of an odd one to explain that to your boss.
Yeah.
I know what it's like, especially it's hard today as well. I don't know what it's like with you, but the sun is splitting the ground here.
Yeah, no, it is down here. It was cooler this morning, but as soon as the sun comes out, it seems to bring everybody out at this time of year.
Bring it out, yeah. No running for you this week. We'll get to why. It's obviously Edinburgh Marathon weekend. So you're taking it easy. Yes. I thought you might have been running the half because I, for some reason, I had in my head you were running a half, but you're stepping up. But we'll get to that as part of our interview with you in our chat. I think the best place to start, and you're so familiar with how I do things here, that the best place to start would be with the beginning and how you got into running, but also how far back that goes, where you sported growing up, and just generally how running kind of took over your life, I would suppose.
It feels like that. So basically you're talking, so it was like beginning of 2020, and you wouldn't look at it if you see me in person, but I was on the overweight side and I knew something had to change. So at the beginning of 2020, before everything kicked off, I had joined the gym to try and just improve my general fitness. And it was like well before like the CrockFit stuff and all that. It was just basically me going to the gym. I met a trainer and he basically gave me this basic stuff. And then a month after I had started, lockdown came along and that put the end to that. And so like because my job, I was non-essential working, so I was stuck in the house doing my bit, and it sort of started getting to me a bit. And because your routine gets knocked off completely, we're just trying to find things to just keep yourself active. And I was going walks more, but what I started noticing a lot more on Facebook at the time, I really didn't use my Instagram back then, apart from cakes and Lego, if you go that far back. I decided 4 year, about 4 years ago now, I was going to either buy a bike or I was going to take up running. And I downloaded the Couch to 5K app, ordered stuff off of a sports shop to get running stuff because I only had really like gym stuff and it was not really suitable for running then. And it was like a pair of Under Armour Charge 2s, which I basically just used for the gym, but Under Armour class them as running shoes. So it was the beginning of June was the first time I put the app on and these running shoes. And I don't know if you've if the, those that use the have used the NHS one, it's worked for the B, you get to pick who is your mentor. And I had Sanji Kohli, the guy who plays Nabeed from Still Game. And you just start the app and it's like what 5 minutes to warm up. And the I mentioned it in a post. I think there's a lamppost at a farm road and the words run basically come out of start, and that's where it started.
So it took really the health, and I did see your comparison photo to begin with, and looking at the two, and like you say, you're kind of very similar build to me. It's not as if we carry much weight, but you can see the kind of stark differences between how you were and how you are now. So I can understand where you felt like you were maybe a little bit overweight, because it for people like us, it would be classed as overweight. So it took that step from you wanted to change your body image and your outlook towards yourself, and it was just really getting into that. How did that then move from the Couch to 5K app and that progression? How fast did you kind of go through that? Was lockdown just one of those, in a way, benefits to you because it gave you that vacuum where you could actually just focus on it?
That I it was really that sort of time because I was still classed as because of the ways we did our tier systems, my shop was inside a mall and we weren't allowed to reopen at that time. The shops that could that were like doors onto a street where so I had months like 9 weeks, and I think actually it was like towards the end of the ninth week that I got the phone call that that's me going back to work. Because it was quite funny during that time. I remember standing in a queue at a Nike outlet for 2 hours to go and actually get some more running stuff, because I only had one, like a t-shirt and a short, and it basically came in, washed, and was ready for the next day, the next run in the plan. So it was sort of, it allowed me to just get out of the house, and it was a structure, and then obviously went back to work. So that's when I started running more at night again. But it took weeks before I started building up the mileage. And you sort of, when you finish the NHS app, it's sort of just like, that's it, 5K's done. So you're sort of like just having a look around on the internet, and it's like it always mentions, is it like 10% or 5% of your week you
Think
just
it's five,
increase?
yeah.
And then it was like one night I just went out to run, and it was, I had done a 10K.
Just
I was
like
like,
that.
I was just like, I felt good. I'll just keep going. I'll just keep running. And I ended up with a 10K. Or I was like, okay, so it is doable. And then because of like lockdown, we went into the other lock, the lockdown at the end of 2020. I just kept going out running when I had nothing else to do, because I was again classed as non-essential person. And I think because I had all that free time, I had more time to build on it. And I was doing basic fitness stuff. I was off an app, and I remember just towards the end of 2020, I ended up getting like plantar fasciitis,
Yeah,
because
plantar fasciitis, yeah.
obviously I wasn't doing as much strength training as I should, or I had obviously increased my distance too much. So I remember pulling it back towards the end of 2020, and then let that heal maybe for a couple of weeks, and then went back out. And I always had that thought, oh God, you're not going to be running for 4 weeks, you're just going to lose your mental fitness sort of side of it. But you're fine, you just rebuild again and you get going. And then
So with the build up and the break from plantar fasciitis, you still stuck to the gym where you could, or doing strength work at home, because you are very active in your gym routine. You post quite regular updates on those in your stories, and so were you
So
still doing strength and
I
conditioning
was
then?
doing small bits, but bits. It was like using an app, and these apps are just designed as general. They're not designed as beginner, medium, hard sort of thing. So you didn't even know if you were actually ever doing the right workout. So it was January, I had came across the CropFit app, and at that time you could do gym or home, and I just used the garage. So I just started doing all the home sort of stuff, and that sort of helped, because the way Alex's app works is it's structured. So it's like five workouts a week, and it just moves through. The home one has like a fitness test at the beginning of the week, and the HIIT cardio, and then basic body strength workouts. So that's where that sort of all started, and I sort of stuck that to a year in between that and like running. And I was slowly still building up distances, but because there wasn't anything more, because of the type of person I am, I didn't really fancy going to do races at that time. Big crowds and all that, just a bit felt very uncomfortable still. So I spent most of like 2021 just working on myself and just building up my distances again, but I never really pushed it that high in my distances. It was also during that sort of time where I started getting these weird niggles, and I actually ended up having to go to a proper running shop and
Get fitted for a pair of shoes.
getting fitted for a profit, instead of just going to like Nike and buying whatever was in the outlet. So it was like, right, I need to go and actually get a proper pair fitted. But because you had started tightening up during lockdown, these things weren't available at the time. So it was like 2021, I just kept working on it, and it was towards the end that I thought, right, maybe it's about time I get an event, see what was out there. And it wasn't, there was nothing. I was originally going to sign up for the Great Scottish 10K in October, but it got cancelled because they still weren't safe about the amount of people appearing at it. But I ended up booking, my first event was in the January of 22, but the same day I booked that, I booked the my first half marathon. So at that point, I hadn't booked, done anything as big as that on my plan. Or, well, sorry, on my made-up plan, should I say, because I didn't have any running plans at the time. You were just basically going out running and doing it how you felt.
Flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah. So that was how really 2021, and then 2022, the first race I did was, it's called the Calendar House 10K, which is in Falkirk. And I hadn't actually properly looked at the route, and it was mostly uphill traily run. And I hadn't really done anything like that before. If you've ever done the run, or if you know the park, you do know there is this hill, and it's actually called Heartbreak Hill because it just goes on and on and on.
I think that's come up fairly recently, hasn't it, in some of the
Yeah.
photos, and it's the expressions of the people with the photographer at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
The faces, it tells a whole story.
It's like there's no other hill I've ever tried to run up that I know of apart from this one.
With signing up then for your half marathon, obviously that's a very runner thing to do, not run a 10K, an official 10K, and then sign up for a half marathon. Had you signed up for Instagram at that point is probably the first question, but also kind of building on to that, what was that turning point to that gave you that confidence to sign up for a race? Because as you say, up until fairly recently, you have been fairly shy, I would say, and I have been in the exact same position myself. What was that turning point?
I don't really, I think it was more trying to actually connect with other runners, because you're running yourself. You don't really know any, personally, I don't know any run MD who ran. So I didn't know any other runners. So you're just sort of, and it was more, you're using Instagram. I had had Instagram before that. Like, my running pages actually was my own personal page, but it just, the running's taken it over. That's why there's more on Instagram page. So I don't know what actually I why I started posting. I don't know if it was just to try and connect with people more, other runners. And I had, obviously, the CrockFit, there's a CrockFit community side that you need to be in the app to get into, but I knew a few of the folk on Instagram that way. But you were just trying to find other, how to run, other aspects of running, what people did for their runs. And I think that's where Instagram more or less came in. You were sort of just more following people, and then you were seeing folk, other folk were posting their runs, and you sort of just go, well, I can post my runs as well. And it just opens it up a bit more to who you can contact, sort of thing.
Especially in your location as well, is it kind of likely gave you that boost of, okay, they're in the next town along, or it's within a driving distance. So, and I do agree, it's as a solo runner, it's a very insular environment, especially if you don't know anyone. So you don't have anyone to push you, and if you struggle to push yourself, which we all do from time to time, it's an odd place to be. I can't recall when we originally first connected on Instagram. You would think as a good interviewer, I should maybe go back and have a look.
I've actually got a funny feeling it might have been round about Edinburgh time,
Was it
Edinburgh 22.
pre-Edinburgh? Right,
It was
okay.
either pre or just after, because I do remember seeing you in your kilt. pictures at the finish line, and
Now that would have been 22, but that would have been
yeah.
Baxter's, because the Baxter's I wore the
Right.
kilt at, and then the half marathon I wore the kilt at. So that would have been Baxter's, but they would have
Yeah.
been the same year. So my first marathon and that the second marathon were the same year. So it was
Yeah.
likely that we connected then, yeah.
Yeah, it probably read about that time.
So did you feel then that having those connections and starting to have that confidence to post your races and post your content, it gave you that little boost of, you know what, I'm getting a little bit more knowledge of what I'm doing, I'm a little bit happier with what I'm doing,
Aye.
and it informed you enough to then go, actually, I'm going to sign up to more races. I can do this. And I know this is going to sound bad. You see other people, and you go, if they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, no, you do have that, because there has been some events I've signed up to, like for this year, that I'd seen in 2024, doing in 2023, and it is that sort of way. Well, if they can go and do it, I can go and do it. And I do remember the first half I did was Edinburgh, in 22, and I think it was on the bus back to the car, and that running group does another half marathon out in. It's not that far away from where Edinburgh finishes, but you finish, instead of finishing where in the school playground, you actually finish across the road in the race course,
That'll be the Scottish
the Scottish half.
half man. Yeah.
And I actually remember booking that on the way home, as well as the 2023 Edinburgh half marathon. And I think I also might have been at the same time about the Great Scottish half marathon. So that was going to be two half marathons in quite a short period of time. So it was that sort of way. It's like, well, if I enjoyed that one, then yeah, I should keep signing up for more.
I think you were then also meeting people. We didn't meet in the year of your first half.
No.
You were there last year, 2023. That's the only
Yep.
time we've met,
Yes.
very briefly, after the marathon, because you'd run the half marathon. So it's 2 years of half marathon back to back, and that's kind of built onto where we're going to go with the Edinburgh Marathon. But you had started meeting up with people before that, hadn't you?
Not really. The first time I actually really met folk was 2023, and basically, I feel like there's always like a step I've had. And when I went to races, it just felt you were lost within a lot of people. Not just like you're seeing everybody in club vests and all that, but there's just a lot of folk, and you just feel like you're very small for some weird and wonderful reason. It's in your head. So I thought, right, if I'm going to keep doing these races, I need to sort of build up being around other people. And that 2023 was the first time I did part run, because again, COVID, part runs were off. And because of my job, I wasn't always guaranteed to get a Saturday off. So I thought, right, I'll just start going to do part runs. And it was probably my third or fourth one that I met Ryan for the first time. That was the only other person I'd met up to that point. And basically, you start, the more Instagram people you, the more runs you posted on Instagram, the more people you were coming into more contact with.
And faces you were spotting at, let's say,
Yeah,
parkrun as well.
yeah. And that happened because there's a guy that I follow on Instagram and Strava who lives up in Lanark, and he came up to me at the Tom Scott 10 miler. It's like, I'm Grant. I'm like, oh, hi. It's like somebody had recognized me rather than me recognizing them. And then it was sort of just, we were getting up to the Edinburgh half marathon, so about this time last year, and folk were saying of going to Strathfey the day before. And I thought, right, you've been following these people for ages, it might be quite nice to meet them in person. And there's where I've sort of started meeting, strangely enough, it seemed to be a lot of the Newton Road runners at the time, that I seemed to have made more contact with and runners. And it was the first time I'd met like Davey, Kayleigh, and a few other faces. I think I might have met Alison Jardine for the first time. And it felt a bit strange because you were meeting all these people you had never met before. You'd only seen them in the little town squares on your phone on Instagram. So it was a bit surreal. And I'm one of these people that will listen before he talks.
Yeah.
So it was quite surreal because it was the first time I had met Nikki the first time. The first time I actually met Nikki, I said hello to her. We ran past and then spent my entire run going, I know her face. She was out doing her training for the Edinburgh Marathon. I was just out doing training for the half. And it wasn't until I got home and a message came up Strava and she went, I thought that was you. So you're sort of, you start meeting these people and then you go to Edinburgh half marathon and you, it was the first time I met Jamie. And a couple of days before Dast Effendi was staying on to watch the marathon and it was Jamie said to contact Lee. He's doing Cheer Squad, so I messaged, that was the first time I had met Lee. And Ian as well, that was the first time I had met him and Rachel and Sarah Homer,
Yeah.
who had all done the half marathon the same time. And the only problem was I was trying not to be in absolute agony because my toe had fractured
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
during the Edinburgh half marathon. So 7-8K in, and we'll talk about it a bit later on, but I thought there was something wrong with my running shoe at the time, and it turned out I fracture on my second metatarsal tarsal.
You did a very good job not to let that show then when we were walking back to
Yeah,
the car.
I know, but I was in absolute pain that night.
Super.
So, yeah, and it was just such a surreal experience because then a few weeks later, I was supposed to be running it, but it was the Glasgow men's and women's 10K. Ryan had put on the first sort of like press play and run meetup. And it was that sort of again. It was all these people that you'd met on Instagram. Again, a few Newton Road Runners. It was the day after Mike had run the wall.
Yeah, I actually had this conversation with someone recently, and it was that's what I put two and two of Mike getting taken into the room full of you guys who had the meetup.
So it was sort of, and it just sort of started building up from there. You're going to more park runs and you're meeting more, and it was sort of just giving you more of a confidence boost, especially at that time, because obviously I had to take, it was 5 6 weeks off running at that time just to let that to heal up, and then you start doing the park runs again, and then before you know it, you're doing like the Great North Run, the Scottish Half, and the Great Scottish Half in September, as well as David Wright's 5K put on that year as well. And you're feeling more confident speaking to folk, and at the same time, you're posting more on Instagram of your running journey as well. Because I use the runner app, which I've been using. After I had done Edinburgh, the first year at Edinburgh, I thought, right, I need really to get something a bit more structured, which turned into a whole start a plan, your Fitbit watch you've been using at the time doesn't support the app, so you can't get any of the interval sessions right because your Fitbit doesn't pause, and then you get COVID.
The world working against you when you don't want it to.
Yeah, so you had all that sort of, but I had, and I thought, right, if I'm going to post about my running journey, I'll just keep posting it. And it does take time because you do have it sometimes on Instagram where you'll post one day and you'll get like 20 or 30 likes, and then you'll post a run that's just a random run and you'll get 100 and something. And there's like no rhyme or reason, but you're still interacting with a lot of folk and you don't actually realize it as well. With like you're still folk are still clicking on your story as well, so you still are getting folk are seeing your journey, and you do get folk when you've had a bad run, they will comment, and it is nice and supportive. And even though you're like really tearing yourself up inside, but you're not doing what you were doing.
think that's actually, so we're getting very close, I would say, to actually moving on to the marathon chat.
Yeah.
Did that all then, you think that's all those connections you were making and all those steps out of your comfort zone, was that really the biggest influencers for you joining the Newton Roadrunners, especially seeing as they seem to be doing a recruitment, a low-key recruitment process
Yeah.
creeping into your life?
Hi. So basically, so it was last year, just before Scottish Half, and Joanna had been on, Joanna Forbird, the
The club
president,
leader, yeah.
club leader, had been on Press Play and Run, and they're obviously talking about that, and it had been going on the whole year. Last year, it was between you and the Ryan's podcast, talking about how joining a community is helps you. And so that weekend at Scottish Half, the Scottish Half, I always seem to meet Lainey, running short stuff at a
Yep.
lot of events, and Joanna was down through running that race, and Jace had set up a meetup for a Press Play and Run meetup afterwards, who had only ever actually met once or twice before that as well. And long story short, Joanna managed to talk me into coming along, but to the next club, the Tuesday night club session. And
I think we'd already, like, pre-chat, pre-record, you mentioned as well, quite early on the, your introduction to Newton Roadrunners, you also kind of got subjected to Patrick as well. So you got more community thrown at you from across the pond. And
because Patrick's always he's always one of those ones that always likes your posts and all that, and it's like it's a guy that you would think you would never meet because of where he obviously stays, and so you're also getting that. And Instagram's one of these weird ones because you mentioned that you put the German word for running
Laufen.
in your Instagram, and I don't know. Obviously, I put like you put Scottish Runner and all this in your hashtags, and but you always seem to get runners from around the world, and you're never going to meet, and you do get some weird ones because there was a guy, messaged me who lived in Edinburgh who was running the Florence Marathon because he couldn't know how to get one of the forms sent through for the, because the Italians they had a different way of working, so it's like you only live like down the
It's
road.
so good for connecting those sorts of places as well.
So with the Newton Roadrunners, basically after that race, we had sort of been talking, and Joanne had obviously mentioned to come along, and the first night was a 12K out and back, and you're like, I've only done a half, my best half marathon up to that point 2 days before. And you're just like, right. And you do have that sort of thinking in your head, like, what are these people going to think of you and all that? And you sort of need to start talking that out of your head.
Is that a rational part of your mind of, are they going to think my running's rubbish? Are they going to judge me? And it's complete rubbish at the end of the day.
Because the one race I remember doing was the Tom Scott 10 miler, and it was like a sea of club runners. Like everybody had a vest or a t-shirt with a club on it. And I remember doing that race, and everybody was so quick. And it sort of put me off for a wee while about joining a club because that's what you had in your head, that anybody who was a club runner was speedy.
Yeah, common misconception.
Yeah, and it is, and anybody who is listening to this and has had that thought, don't. As I run with people who, on a Tuesday night at Newton, who run 3 hour marathons, but on a Tuesday night they are having a chat, a comfortable pace chat.
There's a time and a place for everything,
Yes,
and
right,
these people
because
are great at doing both that time and place stuff.
Because you're sort of, yeah, obviously, like London, if you were following everybody from the club who was running it, and you've got the ones who are way out in front who on a Tuesday night will run at the same pace as everybody else, were a way out smashing these really fast times. So I just kept going, and it's possibly been one of the best things I've done.
Yeah, I think from an outsider's perspective looking in, and I know this is a very similar outlook that other people in the community have, is it's been so great watching you come out of your shell. And I would say the predominant reason would be biting that bullet and joining the Newton Roadrunners, stepping out of your comfort zone to the point where you are now talking in your stories, in your reels. You're almost like a totally different guy from the very shy, retiring sort of Stuart that we all connected with to begin with.
Hi, no, it's been a journey doing that, especially because that's what I was like. I was like, I'm one of these people that really likes their own company. And to do that, it is a real big push. And then you go to your club's award night and you're awarded newcomer of the year. And you've only been at the club for like 3 months at this point. And it's like, oh, okay. So it is actually, it was a complete and utter shock that night when I was given that. Because you didn't expect it being so new to the club.
It gives you that boost as well, though, doesn't it? It makes you feel
It's
welcomed.
yes, I know, and everybody at Newton is absolutely lovely. And they're such a nice friendly bunch. So yeah, it's been a great thing to do.
So we've talked about stepping out of your comfort zone. We've spoken about your formative steps and half marathons. I guess then the best place to start looking in is marathons. And I've got a little bit kind of notes here, kind of to direct myself. When did the decision to run a marathon come up? Because I think you kind of signed up for it on the QT, didn't you? You didn't really say too much about it in your stories, or you kind of didn't want to build upon it too much, did you?
So the first marathon, this is where it gets real funny. The first marathon I signed up for was Manchester for 2024. And I did that the sort of like the day or the day after it had run, because you're sort of going, am I ever actually going to get London on the ballot? So we'll do a spring marathon and we'll go to Florence, to Manchester first. And then I booked the Edinburgh Marathon when I was injured. I went, do you know what? I'll be fine. And then not realizing it's only 6 weeks after Manchester. So they were all booked for 2024. And I sort of had that niggle, I want to do a marathon in 23. But by this point, you're talking, this was July, August time. Still coming out of the recovery phase, and I started looking around to see what there was. And the only one that really stood out was, I think it's the Valencia, at the beginning of December. And there were still spaces. And because of the type of because I'm in retail, it's Christmas time. And it's, well, I get that off, comes in your head. And a lot of retailers, they'll be no, because it's your busiest time of your year. But my manager was quite cool with it, and she says, you're only going for a long weekend, it's fine, it'll just be your 2 days off. You're like your 2 days off 1 week and your 2 days off the next. So she was all fine with it. She says, I'll be here, this person will be here, yeah, they get. She says, right. The entry's closed for it. And I was on a website and it mentioned all the marathons that are in Europe. And November, there's one in Florence. I was like, well, I've been to Florence. I know I can get a hotel. I can get flights. I know what the food's going to be like because it's Italy. Pizza and pasta, you're sorted.
The best place to go for running a marathon.
Pizza, pasta, sorted. And I sort of went back in and I was talking about it. And she says, just book it. Says, it'll be your 2 days off. You'll be fine. It'll be your 4 your days off. You'll be fine, you'll be back and forth because Florence has ran on Black Friday weekend, which is a bigger deal in retail nowadays. So she went, just go and book it. So I did. I booked that. I booked my flights. So my third marathon I booked was going to be my first marathon. And I remember putting the video up, and Ian went, "Oh, where are you going?" Because I'd put the theme song from Assassin's Creed as the music, because the second game is also set in Florence, and that was sort of the influence why I'd went on holiday a few years before that. And I changed my plan around. I went and changed the length. And what was quite good at that time was I was on a half marathon plan, but the distances were near enough the same build up to it. So I wasn't really changing the plan that much because it was only 4 weeks into that plan. The only thing was three of the long runs were the Great North Run, the Scottish Half Marathon, the Great Scottish Marathon, which you then go and set some really good times on. Well, the Scottish and the Great Scottish, which were a week apart, and I think it was only like 2.5 minutes between the two times, which you would think back to the year before. And even though they were 2 weeks apart, you had two different races, and that half marathon, this Great Scottish, I was absolutely happy with the fact that I had such a good time only a week after another marathon, another half marathon.
So
So,
it must have almost felt like it was meant, everything was coming together. It was meant to be. So you've got Edinburgh coming up this weekend. And I've kind of, we've almost tied everything here, knitted it together quite well, because it's going to have a lot of your friends, a lot of Instagram faces, a lot of people to spot along the way. And you've done 2 years of back-to-back half marathons at the event, so you know most of the route. So it's almost like adding those together, you're doing the full shebang. Before we talk about Edinburgh then, and before and we look a little bit more at Firenze, I thought we could maybe look at a little bit of the Manchester Marathon and the Florence Marathon, maybe touch on some of the happier memories, and especially reading back through some of the post-race analysis, especially of Manchester, maybe not some of the not so happy memories. I think it is fair to say that you were a little bit disappointed with how Manchester played out. And we've kind of pre-recording talked about that, and I can wholeheartedly sympathize with it. But looking back on it from a month on, you did soldier on through from what was a very, very difficult race for you, and still set a really fantastic time. Do you feel then that you were maybe spoiled with how your first marathon, at which mentioned was meant to be, wasn't meant to be even a marathon to begin with, Florence, when, especially on the kind of generic sort of basis on how everyone's first marathons goes? Because Manchester, in some respects, reading the analysis or post analysis of it, it's almost like the way most people's first marathon goes. And I kind of suppose, moreover that as well, do you feel that maybe Florence, it was almost like that success story of your travel didn't go so well, so you got your mind cleared. Once you got there, your mind was clear of all these things that could go wrong. You didn't have anyone to kind of worry about in the crowd. It was just you yourself, and just getting yourself happy in a place that, as you say, you were familiar with. How did they then compare? Can you kind of give us a bit of an analysis of Florence and Manchester and how they compare together?
So obviously, picking your first sort of marathon, well, your third marathon to be your first marathon, it was because it was in a different place, and you knew that you wouldn't really have Andy there. You sort of had that sort of mindset. It's your first marathon. Whatever happens, happens. And you were doing it in somewhere that meant something to you as well, because you were doing it in somewhere that was as stunning as Florence is. Obviously, it's like the birth of the Renaissance. It's not changed in like 600 years, a lot of the city. You were sort of soaking it up a bit more.
You had a distraction.
You had a sort of, yeah. because you're like 1 minute you're running past the Duomo and then the Arno, and then you're going across the bridge. I can't remember its name. At the Ponte, the main bridge that everybody goes to in Florence, because it's where all the very expensive jewelers are. Like, yes, yeah, that watch at 20 grand looks very nice. And because you didn't have that pressure, you knew ended there, you could enjoy it a bit more. And my plan had really up to that point was it's going to be your first no matter what time you do. And even though I had my sort of like niggle in Florence, because my hip, well, it didn't really like start hurting, it just sort of went, and you were sort of the last 10K, but you were still doing really well on it until you reached this bridge that looked like a mountain. It's like Florence is flat apart from the south side, and then you get to this railway bridge and it looked like a mountain. And even though it was getting tougher and tougher, and you're still getting in your head that you've never done anything like this up to this point. You've never ran more than 30. I think my plan had 35K on it. 32, 35, something like that. Because I remember Ryan saying when he did his first marathon, he never had a distance that high on his plan. And I had been going out and I've been doing these runs and I've been doing really well. And you think, right, you're going to have a good time no matter what happens until KLM cancels your flight 24 hours beforehand. And you spend an hour trying to get a rebooked flight. I was like, this is the last thing I need.
Yeah, you were very stressed in your stories. I remember contacting you and being like, how's it getting on?
So it was like I actually spent an hour. I was supposed to be on my lunch break for like half an hour. I was on my lunch break for an hour and a half trying to deal with customer services. And it was I ended up actually booking a separate flight, still with KLM, to get me there in time, but I had to go to a different part of Italy and then just use the train to get to Florence. Just so that I was there because it was an expo collection for the numbers. And the flight they were putting me on would have got me like half an hour before the place shut. So it's like, nope, you need to get me there for Friday. You're messing me about here. But
That
once you're there and you're there, it completely changes your mindset
yeah.
again. Because I went and got my number, I had a wander around the city, because you were coming from a different direction. And then obviously I went out to Lucca, to do the park run there, because it's done in the walls of the city. And you're like, how often do you get to say you've ran in the walls of a city, especially in Italy, because it's all medieval architecture, and it's just such a nice place to be. And then you get to race day and you had so much support from folk that you've only really just met in the past year. The day before when you do like your flat lay, and I remember finishing and Lee actually putting me in his stories. He'd been tracking me and I had only put that up just in case anybody did want to, but it actually made really special that somebody had actually had followed you doing your run. For just somebody you've only met a couple of times.
And that's why I think in Lee's episode as well, I wanted to highlight that from him. He's just such a nice guy. And if you put up a tracker, 9 times out of 10, Lee is going to watch your tracker.
And it was just the messages after, and obviously I did like I think it was like near enough a full week of posting. You did actually mention that you just post as much as you want.
Yeah, just post, get it out of your system, but also embrace the. It's especially that time of year. You were the only one running a marathon.
I guess.
Enjoy it.
So it was like there was just such a high from it. You had done your first marathon, you'd done it somewhere that you enjoyed going to. Not that I'm saying Manchester's bad or anything before we get to that bit,
It's
but
not
just
as exotic as Florence, that's for
no,
sure.
it's not, no. But it's just because you had done something special that you obviously you knew runners had done, but it was like the first time I'd known anybody in my family had run a marathon. So it was like it had all that sort of appeal, and getting that medal at the end It was I was trying not to cry for like the last 2 miles because there was just so much emotion running through you. You didn't know what to do.
And that never change that you obviously know from Manchester, it never changes. You get so emotional with it because you're pushing your body to breaking point. And as you say, I think having the support of the you didn't have anyone to worry about in the crowd, so you kind of it was just about getting yourself around and having the distractions, but then having your inbox full of messages, having the club also putting up a message about your running as well. It must have just been for someone who has come out of their shell as well, and at that point still a little bit shy, must have been very overwhelming.
It was because a couple of days after that, I did that post. I don't know if you remember it, and it was talking to my past self.
Yeah, I do.
And it was just to try and get out the words of how you felt more.
That
Because
influenced a few other people to do similar posts as well, sure.
yeah, because that happened the past week with when you're talking about the Edinburgh Marathon, but how every year it's different. It was just never think when you take up you start running, when you hear that word run at a lamppost, that 3 years later you would be running a marathon. It
Doing
just
something that very few people will ever do.
yes, I because you're now in a 1% club of people that have ever ran a marathon in the world. And it just took a week to just talk about how it went. And you were just like, right, so that's it. I've set my time. Manchester's next. You have sort of like December off, and then you start your next 16-week plan. So obviously you're training for a bit different because even though Florence is technically a winter marathon, you're doing autumn and the weather's a bit better. It's still nice and warm, and Florence is obviously getting closer to the, like, even though it's not on the med, it's still in a bit of warm Italy, even though like race day it was like 0 degrees at the start line.
It still looked really sunny in your
It
photos.
looked really sunny, and I had the sunglasses on the entire way round. And obviously, 0 degrees to a Scottish person in a warm country is different to a 0 degrees to an Italian, because you're standing there and you've got like layers on, and you're like in your hoodie with your vest underneath it, going, it isn't that cold. So yeah, and obviously because you were still quite new to Newton at the time as well, and I hadn't done any of the long runs that Ryan had put on. I did the last one before Christmas break. You still felt like a lot of folk didn't know who you were from that one. Because like one, what was it, 1:30, 3:38 for your first marathon, and I've just gone, that is really well. Even though I had my own wee target pace and all that, you just don't know what happens on the day.
No, exactly.
And so you just go, right, 3:38, that's your first marathon. What can you do in Manchester? Because you start to plan and you get into it, and everything was going fine. And then I took a really weird sore throat in the middle of March, and your plan just starts changing. Because you were obviously want to beat your time, and it could still have happened on the day, but obviously day conditions changed. Because I did the 10K down by the river, which is the Cambuslang Harrier, sorry, and I then did 20 along the 4th, and I had this really horrible cough for weeks, and I did do them and did the rate. Well, the 20 along the 4th wasn't a race, but I managed to get a 10K PB. But I wanted to push myself a bit more that day, and that cough had obviously not fully was actually just starting then. But then you start then missing some of your faster sessions, and then you're. I'm always one of these ones that's I want to get my long run done in my plan,
Yeah.
because you can do speed sessions, but that's not the speed you're going to do on the day.
No.
So I
And
thought,
time and feet is more important as well.
I thought, right, as long as I could still do the distances, and there was a couple of times I just had to cut them short because I just was not fully healthy, and I knew that the way I had been feeling. So I obviously amended the Manchester plan on my app because you can do that, and I thought, right, we'll try and aim for, I had originally was a 320 was the
Okay.
plan.
Yeah.
I thought, right, let's just aim for a 330. And I felt like once I had done that to the plan, it was getting better, and I was doing the sessions a bit more. And obviously, go down to Manchester. And on the day before Manchester, I took pins and needles in my foot that would not go away,
Okay.
which was absolutely weird.
Was it over-tightened shoes, you think, or?
I don't know. It was near enough, like on my plantar at my plantar area again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've not had this for years. And I
Yeah.
remember going to park run that morning, and I kept saying, "Yeah, I'm fine, apart from this pain in my foot that's just appeared overnight."
Yeah.
And Alison and Ryan kept telling me, "It's not a pain. It's just there. It's not in your. It's in your head.
It's paranoia.
It's paranoia." But it lasted for the whole day. It
Yeah.
was like just that one part of my body. At one point, I was near enough going, "Am I actually going to actually run this race tomorrow?"
Yeah.
But you get down to Manchester that night, and you're feeling all right. The only problem is, I should have looked a bit more into my hotel that I had booked for the next day, sort of like meals, not for like getting breakfast and all that, because I didn't have a kettle or anything like that, so I had to change obviously what I ate that morning, which was really quite strange because you go to Italy and they don't believe in porridge, so you have croissants for your breakfast before a marathon.
Funny enough, that's what I had before Amsterdam as well.
Yeah,
Didn't have porridge.
because on the continent, breakfast is completely different.
Yes.
It's like pastries. Okay,
Yep.
maybe that's the trick. Maybe more pastries before a marathon. I felt good that morning. I got down at the start line. We were trying to meet up, and I bumped into Karen and Nick that morning at the start line. Avery was probably away by that point, and there was a few newtoners down as well. But we were trying to message each other, and it's like, "I'm here, I'm here." And it's like, we just couldn't get a central point. Obviously, again, I had to went down myself, but I knew that Manchester had a tracker, so I knew that there was folk following you.
Yeah.
And I still felt really good, and the amount of support that everybody had given me was fantastic. And I started the race, and I felt really good. And I was probably pushing myself a bit too much past my start pace, but it was one of these weird ones where you don't feel like it's you're going out too fast.
It wasn't unachievable. It didn't feel unachievable.
Yeah. So you're running, and then I did a stupid mistake, and on a Garmin and the runner app, if you push the back button, it stops the plan. If it finishes the plan, so I for the from about 14K in, I had to start doing everything by pace because the way the runner app has it sends you messages if you're going too fast or too slow.
Yeah.
So I had to keep looking at my watch to get the pace right. And I still felt really, really good. So we got down to the halfway point, and everything was feeling fine. Go around. I can't remember where you come back. You do the loop before you come back, and there's a hill in that section, and it was a bit steeper than what it. Any race that says it's flat, don't believe. The hill, and I did remember walking up it, and I still felt good. And then all of a sudden, I just didn't feel right. And I just felt gassy is the easiest way to describe it. And I was trying to just, it was that sort of way it was, if I'm sick, I'll probably feel better.
Yeah.
So I was trying to see, but nothing came. I thought, right, just start getting again. But it started getting warmer. And because you've been training so long in cooler temperatures, you sort of feel it on that day. This all of a sudden heat increase.
Yeah.
Because I started the race with race sleeves on, and I ended up having to take them off because it was too warm.
Yeah.
And you're sort of right, just keep going, just keep going. And I got to about 32K in, and I was just not feeling it. And at one point, I was wanting to take myself off the course because you start looking at your time, and you then see your target time go past, and then the one that got to me was I seen my plunge time.
Yeah, I read that part of it, and that can be a right gut punch, can't it?
Yeah, and it was like, right, that's it's just get to the finish line now, and it absolutely shows on my finish photos
Yeah,
that I just,
you can see you were very disappointed.
yeah, and it does take a lot of time for it to get out your head.
Yeah.
You've had that sort of run, and
How do
it's
you
a,
feel thinking about it now, looking back on it, like a month on? Are you still as disappointed as you were on the day?
I am slightly. I've had a lot of good people talk me around, and they still say you did a sub four. You still completed it. You still set a good time, and it has taken off. And it was last week that I actually sort of felt like I'm back into the way I was enjoying running again. It does take a bit of time because I think I put too much pressure on myself to go and get a time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you feel like you maybe subconsciously put the pressure on yourself because you knew you had people tracking you? You knew there were people there. You wanted to beat your time. And the kind of culmination of that, plus not feeling 100%, you maybe ruined your own day without necessarily intending to.
I did all that because I ran past Gies and Elodie on the way back out, and they were tracking me, and they actually thought they had missed me.
Yeah.
And then I was all of a sudden on saying hello to them because they were trying to find where I was. And it's things like that sort of got in your head,
Yeah.
and I just felt really disappointed I hadn't done what I wanted to do. But looking back at it, you. Maybe I just had the luck of the draw in Florence.
Yeah.
That day, maybe there was just something about that day that made it, because every at the club and everybody I've spoken to says that's a really good time for your first marathon.
Yeah, and as I say, your Manchester Marathon experience almost seems like the majority of people's first marathon experiences, whereas your Florence is almost like what most people experience on their second or third marathon. It's like that success story of I've learned from my issues that I've had already or mistakes that I've made, but it seems to be flipped for you.
So, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say going into Edinburgh then. You've got that two sides of a coin now. You've got the happy smiley Florence experience, and you've got the tail side of the not so successful Manchester Marathon. As I say, most likely because of pressures you were putting on yourself, etc. Edinburgh's got a similar sort of situation as Manchester. Sure, you don't have a tracker, which is maybe a big plus, but there will be a lot of people there that you know. How are you feeling going into it? Are you kind of trying to let that side of it not build and just learn from what you got from Manchester? Obviously, you're a lot better. You still got a bit of a cough there. Are you feeling more comfortable going into this final week towards Edinburgh than you were feeling for Manchester?
Last week sort of cemented that. I had went and done a speed session, and it was the first speed session I'd done in a long time that had actually hit the paces I was targeted for. Edinburgh was never going to be a race. It was more of a run. It was just to experience it more.
Yeah.
And I think I've got that mindset that that's how I'm going to run this race,
Good.
as to enjoy the experience and not overwhelm myself about going for it for a time. I said in one of my stories, I'm aiming in sub four, I'll be happy with.
Yeah.
And I know probably end up, but in sub four, and I know this year's going to be a lot different again because of once you reach Musselburgh,
Yeah.
it's going to be so many people there that you know, because obviously Edinburgh takes place after the half. And there's a lot of Newtoners obviously running the half. I know Lee's doing another cheer squad zone. And I know there's a lot of folks staying on after the half to watch. So it's going to be a completely different race to what I've done before. Because last year, I just remember talking with Jamie for the entire first ever.
Yeah.
So I know that Jason, AB are there, that their new podcasts are meeting a meet zone
Yes, they are.
before
Yeah,
the
they're doing
race.
one. Yeah.
And obviously there's a few Newton Road Runners doing the marathon as well, so it'll be really.
I would recommend that though, because I met with AB, and that's where I actually met him. The only time I've met him was there. And I met Jace for the first time there as well. And it was so nice because I was meeting Ryan and Bob. It was nice to meet these people. It kind of settled nerves. And I was never there for racing. That was never my plan last year. And I think if I had been there for racing, having that would have settled me. But also knowing that I had people on course might have been a bit overwhelming, especially when you see them twice. And having known exactly how I felt the year before, running it as a social run, as a not a target race, and just doing it for more experience, it's great to hear that that's almost the mindset that you're going into it with. It is a race, but it's a experience building race to have time with the community and to learn a little bit more about. It is very close to Manchester as well. Learn from that and build upon some of those things, because that then takes us to our likely next time to meet up, our second time would be then Baxter's. So the Baxter's Marathon is your fourth marathon. Funny enough, that will be my fourth marathon as well. So there is an opportunity there. Would it be safe to say that that will be a target race marathon for you? All things going well, you would target your PB there?
Yes, hopefully. I do know that the course is hilly, from what I make out. And the runner app actually has an Inverness race built into
Okay, cool.
it. They've actually got a lot of races built into their plans, and they've actually got you doing hill sessions.
Spot on. I'm gonna have to look at that
So
myself.
they're actually, I think it's not every week, maybe at least every couple of weeks or something, there's actually a hill session in it, which is quite good because there's a speed session that normally happens with the club as well, at least once a month,
Yeah.
and it's hills, which is, I think you've run hills, but it's really quite enjoyable, the hill sessions. I actually quite enjoy them, weirdly, because I think it just builds your endurance once you get to a hill and you're like, I'm not running up that. And once you've done a few of these sessions, it's like, I run up hills all the time, it'll be
Yeah,
fine.
it feels so easy, doesn't it? Once you get used to them, and you're going to go into Baxter's with that being and part of your plan, you will find Baxter's to be a piece of cake.
Aye. So it'll be something nice because when you're looking up marathons in Scotland, there's only like four and only two of them are road races.
Yeah.
So it's just something nice to come up and experience. Even though I live in Scotland, I've never really been up that far north.
Yeah.
So it'll be quite nice to go and do something like that. You're running up the banks of, well,
The water, yeah.
you're running up Loch Ness.
Yeah.
So it'll be quite a nice experience race. Just hopefully the weather's good for us.
Fingers crossed. But we also have members of the community at the moment, all being well, touch wood. We'll have Ian running as well. There'll be a form of cheer squad because Lee's running the 10K, and there may be a few other faces there as well. But at no point is it like your Edinburgh or your Manchester,
No.
because it's a one point, it's a point to point. There's no opportunity really to see faces, so you have that pressure kind of dropped of you're not waiting to see someone, you're just there in your own head, getting the job done.
Yeah.
And if you've got company, if your target time is one that I can almost get pulled along as best as I can from you, then you have that ability as well to have other people running with you. But I that's good to hear that. That's you're almost taking a commonsensical approach. I would say that's not even a word. But you're learning from the experiences you've had already. You've had the success story. You've had the less than the less than desired outcome with Manchester, and then you're taking your time with Edinburgh, ideally sub-4. If it doesn't happen, it's good to hear that pressure is not there. You'll whatever happens, and you will then take on to then come to Loch Ness,
and have a
smash of a race, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
It's honestly been really good to have you on, Stuart. And I think I've kind of quickly sped you on through there because I was more conscious about time towards the end.
Fine. I like a long podcast.
You do. Well, someone said that as well. Can it not go back to 2 hours?
I do remember that really long one you did with Running Man Steve.
Yeah.
It was like 2 hours. I was like, okay, that must
be 2 hours 20, that one. And AB said the same as well. He likes a longer podcast because he's out for a long run. He wants to have something to listen to.
These crazy people that listen at speed them up. I don't know how they can do that.
1.5 to 2. Elodie does that. And I don't know how her French mind can even listen to half of our accents at that speed. But no, it's been fantastic to have you on. As I say, to have such an amazing time at Florence, and then even then, someone like myself looking at your Manchester time I think your Manchester time was still better than my Amsterdam time. So it's so good to have followed your story so far and seen the success you've made of it. From coming from almost a lockdown runner as well, I would say. You are a lockdown runner, although your kind of journey started just a little bit before. And the confidence that you've developed by purposefully throwing yourself out of your comfort zone has been really enjoyable to watch, and is one that I'm so looking forward to kind of following, and as I say, meeting up with you at Baxter's and hopefully being part of that story of beating your PB or watching you smash your PB, because you've definitely got it in you. It's just coming down to the right place at the right time and everything knitting together nicely.
Well, hopefully next year Manchester's getting a revenge, so as well, because I've already signed up for that one. Just you're depending on London. It's I've got a bone to pick with it, so.
We will also find out very soon about London. So if London is the, this is a stupid question, isn't it? If London was to be a success for you, you would definitely go to that and not get revenge on Manchester so soon?
Yeah. Oh, no, if I get it from London, I'm going to London. You can't pass up on that. Even though I've got, I'm going down at the beginning of September for the big half. So I'm going down to do that one. So it'll be quite nice to have a wee taste of running in London.
Yeah, no, that would be good. That would be good. And you should maybe give Runner Man Steve a shout as well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll bump into him.
But before I let you go then, I just wanted to find out as well, because we didn't really talk a lot about other races. What has been your favourite race so far?
It's got to be Florence. I think it's just because it's as much as... I think it's just it steals a bit of your heart on this. Because you did it in such a nice place and a special place to you, and like a lot of folk won't have ever heard of it as well, and they'll just think of Rome, because a lot of folk just think of the big, either the capital cities or the big cities.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of races out there, especially in the continent, that are in just smaller cities.
Yeah.
Because there's also one out in Pisa as well that's a few weeks later, and there just seems to be a lot of nice places down there, because even though, like we're saying, we're running in Edinburgh, we don't really run in Edinburgh.
No, you don't. Very, very briefly. Whereas these, you do run around them. Amsterdam, it was kind of similar because you run, although it's the Amsterdam region, you do run in the city, then you run out of the city and you're down a canal. Yeah, there's so much opportunity there, and that's maybe quite a good piece of advice for anyone looking to run a marathon that doesn't necessarily want to run a UK marathon or have that pressure of being in and around friends. Is look at the opportunities that are they're there. There's plenty of places to go to. It's whether or not you're willing to take that leap, I suppose.
No, because there's just a lot, because that one that we did last year up at in the night sky,
That's it, yeah. When I bought at
that
that, oh, your man, Jim's running.
Yes, he's running that. It's like, that just sounds absolutely awesome. It's like there's no other race like that. I've actually got, my sister got me a book at Christmas, and it mentions all these races around the world, and that's actually mentioned in this book, talking about how you can run it and it's still daylight at night, and it's like that's just something special. And
If
that.
I've learned anything about you, Stuart, from the duration of this chat, is you've probably got it signed up somewhere. You've got it stashed, ready to go.
No, I'm looking at that one. The only ones I've got signed up for the rest of the year are the big half, the Scottish half, because the Scottish half is normally my PB route, because it's all downhill, really, and it's nice and flat. And it's quite good going into the Edinburgh Marathon, because I know the later half of the route, because that race runs into Edinburgh, towards Musselburgh along that route. So the only difference will obviously be it's an out. You'll see a lot more runners heading back in towards Musselburgh. So I sort of know what that part of the route is going to be like. And apart from that, there's probably a couple of, I'll probably after Loch Ness just look at a couple of smaller 10K races, because you sort of get into November, the later
Yeah,
half
see you
of the year,
through
and
the rest of the year.
There's not that much. There's normally one I like doing. I've done it the past couple of years. It's a 10K in Tilly. And it's after Christmas, and it's just quite a nice race to have at the end of the year. And it's quite a, I would say flat, but it does have a small incline at the beginning. Well, it's like a steady incline. It's not like a massive steep hill.
I think for anyone that doesn't know or hasn't put two and two at this point, especially with the intro, can you tell anyone listening that doesn't already follow you where they can find you and what your handle is?
So, I've got Instagram, and my handle is Stuart Runs a Lot.
That he does.
I was wondering if you were going to do that. And Strava, that's the only really places you'll find where my running stuff is.
That's a good place to
And if you
start, though.
want, to see cakes of that, it's Stuart Does Other Stuff.
Yeah, cakes and Lego.
Yes.
Cakes and Lego, and you bake some beautiful looking cakes. So,
Yes.
you've not been doing so much of that. I think that you need to
No,
make a resurgence on
marathon
the cakes.
training just takes it
Yeah, you should be eating more cakes though when you're marathon training.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, thank you very much for joining me this year. Hopefully we can get you back and we'll do more of a deep dive on some of the aspects that we kind of glazed over in this. But no, I think it's been fantastic to have you on today.
Robin, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for all the podcasts you've done up to this point as well.
You too,
They've kept
Kevin.
me going on those long runs.
Spot on. Fantastic chat with a wonderful guy. It's been so positive and inspiring watching Stuart's progression on so many levels, either through his ability or confidence in many ways. He's open and honest with his thoughts and feelings, whether that's self-reflection, journey, or even event breakdown. There's genuinely no falseness with him. What you see is what you get, and that's something you can't often say in modern social media personas. And of course, I know that is true for everyone listening as well. I said to Stuart afterwards that I'd be extremely happy to have him back, especially needing the Baxter's Marathon, not only to hear a little bit more about his running and the elements that I did speed through, and I felt bad for that. I was just conscious of time, but also to have a pre-race special in a way. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it though. And as always, I would encourage you to let Stuart know with plenty of tags and feedback to the man. At this point, I should also wish anyone else who's running the Edinburgh Marathon Festival and the multitude of distances that take place over Saturday and Sunday all the very best. I'm not going to say luck here. It isn't luck. You've put in the time, you've put in the hard work, the dedication, the graft. It is 100% you at this point. And I hope you have a fantastic event, whether you're listening before, during, or after. Fingers crossed the weather is good, nowhere near as bad as what they're forecasting, but you never know. They forecast bad weather last year and you saw what happened to my forehead, so just take the suntan lotion just in case. As I say, I hope you have a fantastic run. Anyone taking part alongside Stuart, have a great day, smash it, and we will hear how you all got on in next week's episode when I do a bit of a Medal Monday digest and try and note down as many names as possible. Okie dokie, wrap up time. Thanks as always for downloading or streaming the show. It will always be the best way you can show your support for what I'm doing and for the show as a whole. I'd never turn my nose up at a quick share on social media though, like I always say. And remember to tag back on stories if your sharing is there. If you like to show your physical support for the podcast, you can do so by visiting our merchandise partners over at Twisted Running. You can find a link on our website at thepoint99podcast.com or by Googling Twisted Running. You can also find them on social media and on Instagram. Just search for Twisted Running and drop them a follow. Since you're already listening to the show, you know it's available on all major podcast platforms. Apart from Google Podcasts, that's gone. That's out the window, but we do now have YouTube podcasts. But you can find it most other places if you do want to share it. And maybe you don't like using Spotify, but you are using Spotify to listen to it now and you want to use something else. There are options available to y'all. Finally, we're on both Instagram and Facebook. Just search for the Point99 Podcast and drop us a follow on both of those. I've said it before, I don't really use Facebook that much. If there is an interest and there's more follows, then I will start using it. But for the time being, it's really just Instagram. If you would like to get in contact, you can drop me a DM on either of those platforms, but especially Instagram, as I'm checking that every other hour or so. If you drop me a DM on either the 99's Instagram page or my very own one at Mr_Steve_runs, I do also have an email address, thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. That's a numeral 99 in the middle there. And I will get back to you on any of those means. As always, though, I can't thank you enough for tuning in today. If you've made it this far, you are a gorgeous superhuman. I said it last time and I'll say it again. Thank you to all of those who made it all the way through last time and dropped me the little message that I asked for. Big hearts, guys. I do really appreciate that. Until the next episode, though, one where I'm going to be outclassed on so many fronts, but you'll know why very soon. Stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you'll hear from me soon.